Let's go.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for, so we're off to a swimming start to the new week. Nick, Barry, and myself in studio ready to go for the next 3 hours. Fellas, what's going on?
What up?
What's up, man? What's going on?
It's hot.
What do you mean?
In studio?
Me? Because I'm hot?
No. Hot outside for one.
Well, oh, you must have went running this morning.
No, hot outside, but hotter inside simply because I experienced what you experienced a week or so ago, but not because of a power outage. The air conditioning in our bedroom decided to just peter out.
In your bedroom?
In the master bedroom, pregnant wife.
Woo, not good.
Nope.
Not good at all.
No, and then through the home warranty called, and they're like, we're on this. We'll get right to you tomorrow. Oh, okay. So this morning, they decided to call at 7:15 while I was getting Taylor ready for school. Didn't have my phone. I got my phone. I called back 37 minutes on hold.
Ooh.
And the crazy thing was, they were like, you're caller number 4 in line. Then they're like, you're caller number 3. But when I was caller number 4, the wait was a minute. When I was caller number 3, the wait was 7 minutes. And by the time I was calling...
Maybe caller number 2 or number 1 was taking too damn long.
It took too long, period. And then the guy's like, yeah, you know, if I'd have got you right when I called you, I had you scheduled first thing this morning. Now we're probably going to have to wait till tomorrow. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
See.
So now they're working on it, and I have to check back that maybe they'll be able to work it in tonight. If they cannot...
Oof.
And y'all love this. So the other air conditioning unit's working, so the upstairs bedrooms are cool.
So that's where y'all are sleeping.
So that's what I suggested. Lisa throws it out there to Taylor. Taylor starts freaking out. I go, she's 3.
Why did you give her the option?
Right. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what she thinks. You guys, everybody, just hightail it upstairs. She goes, nope. Taylor believes that there are ghosts in the spare bedroom. And so, therefore, because I believe in ghosts too, we're not sleeping out there. So I go, so you're going to sweat your ass off in our bed with no air conditioning in that room for the sake of ghosts, and you're going to let a 3-year-old dictate? I go, hell no. Nah. Not for me, but that for them.
Now,
okay.
Now the master AC, is that just for y'all's bedroom and master suite, or does it control like the living room or whatever too?
There's one unit that just is for the master bedroom and the bed. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So you could sleep on the couch if you had to.
Yep.
Okay.
Spare bedrooms, yep.
So where did you sleep?
I ended up toughing it out and went to bed. But luckily, our ceiling fan right over the bed.
Yeah.
And because with the bedroom door open, there was still air circulating.
Yeah.
The bed itself was not too bad. But I'm telling you, if you got out of bed or got near the door, it was...
Man.
76, 77
degrees.
Oh,
see, that's not a good sleeping... Yeah, that's not a good sleeping degrees.
No.
I don't like that at all. We keep it at 71. And I would go colder but the wife would absolutely not have it.
I'm with you, yeah.
I'd probably have it like 68, 69, something like that.
Totally with that. Yeah. So we wait. And during the show, I hope to get a call.
Eesh. Well, if that doesn't happen, you know, you can just call on your... Do it yourself.
Well, I can call Ghostbusters and maybe I can clear the bedroom.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, you're going to have to pay something through that warranty anyway, so you might as well. What's it worth to you? Is it worth just getting it done and paying the difference?
Well, if I get it done, then I'll just cancel the service call. Then I'll just tell the company that's not going to be able to get there till tomorrow, hey, we just went and took
care of it. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Hey, real quick, before we go any further, can I just wish my mother a happy birthday?
Absolutely.
It's Mama Laminack's birthday today, so happy birthday, Mama Laminack.
Happy birthday, Mama Laminack. Yeah. Great lady.
I haven't even called her yet. That's how bad of a son I am.
Classy.
I tell her happy birthday on the radio, and I have not even called her yet. I'm an awful, awful son.
Class act.
But this is the problem with her birthday being that close to Mother's Day. It's like, okay, Jenny, you trying to double up on the gifts or what? Like, really? Can we just group them into one? This is your birth Mother's Day? No, it's like being born on Christmas, right? Oh well. I'm guessing you guys didn't watch Game of Thrones.
No, and I'm ecstatic. One, I was ecstatic even before the show aired that it was over, so I don't have to hear about it anymore.
What?
But two, then I heard all the sourpusses complaining about how it ended, and I was like, oh good, I didn't miss anything, and now everybody's pissed.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with the ending, and I'm not going to spoil it. I won't do like some listeners. I just say, put it this way. I didn't watch, or I shouldn't say, I watched all the episodes, but I didn't really complain. Like, you hear Fred and AJ and other people on the interwebs.
Tyler,
they're all complaining. They get like, so nerdy about it, and then they're just like, I didn't really think that. And I'm like, AJ was bitching 1 week about it not being, like, unrealistic. I'm like, dude, there's living dead people and dragons, and now you want to get hung up on it being realistic?
Seriously.
To me, the most, forget all that stuff. I just talked about this, but the most perplexing thing to me about Game of Thrones is that Bran is in a wheelchair. Nothing in Westeros is wheelchair accessible. It's all stairs. How's this dude getting around on cobblestone streets, mud streets, and stairs? Yet he's everywhere everyone else is. How is that possible? That is the big mystery of Game of Thrones. Is how is Bran getting around?
In
a wheelchair.
I think Lance sent it out. Joe George sent it out. People were sending it out. It was a Starbucks cup a few weeks ago. There was a plastic water bottle on the floor in one of the scenes last night.
Oh, my God. See, I don't watch it that close.
I don't either. Like, who does that?
I'm not going to nitpick it to that nth degree. Like, who can't just watch it to enjoy it?
Middle of the episode, who goes, wait, time out. Rewind that. Stop. Freeze frame right there. I mean, is that a water bottle?
I don't care. This was the only episode that I had a problem with, by the way. Okay. Like, everyone else is like, oh, the last three episodes sucked.
Too dark.
Or the big battle scene was too dark, whatever. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with any of this. I just didn't like the way it ended. And, I won't spoil it. I would have written it differently. I think people expected certain things, and they didn't get it. And there's one thing to surprise people that watch it and are into it, but it's another one just to do something different for the sake of doing something different. And I feel like that's what happened, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm not losing any sleep over it. It was a great show. I really enjoyed the eight seasons of it. And if you have a chance to go back and start from the beginning and watch it, I suggest you do it.
Now, Tyler's tweets were off the rails. Like, first, I've got the corner seat in the couch. I've got one beer down of a special, and I've got another one ready to go for the actual show. And he was all setting the table. Then he was like, this is just like a Texans game that you're looking forward to, and it's a big game, and you go to the right sports bar, and you get the right food and the right beverage, and they lose at the buzzer, and it bothers you. Wow. And then he starts out this morning with...
Is that why he's not here today? He called in sick? I'm sick of Game of Thrones!
Then his tweet this morning was, hey, good morning to everybody, and hope everybody has a great day, except for the people at Game of Thrones that wrote that ending.
Wow. I mean, it was bad. I didn't like it, but I don't know. I didn't get that upset about it.
It was a bit much.
Yeah, that's pretty nerdy. My favorite part of Game of Thrones was the names.
The names?
Yeah, like I noticed like they, when they named kings, like they had like, or queens, they give them like these really long names.
Okay.
Like Bran the Broken or like Daenerys the... What is the queen, the dragon queen's name? Hold on.
You're asking the wrong two dudes here.
Yeah. By the way, there might be a spoiler in this. So if you haven't watched it yet, you should change the channel. I tried, but I'm going to have to. Where is it? It's Daenerys. Dang it. What's her full name? I can't find. Oh, Queen of Marine, Khaleesi of the Great, Grass Sea, Mother of Dragons, the Unburnt Breaker of Change. Queen of the Andals. Yeah, she's like, that's all their names, right? So, yeah, spoiler alert. Change the channel real quick. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So, the final guy, his name was Bran the Broken, King of the Six Realms or whatever. It's really cool because they give you, like, these kings and the lords and all that stuff. And so I was like, what would our Game of Thrones names be?
I knew you were going to do that because Nick's is going to be like outlandish with all the stuff that you're going to throw at him.
Why did you say that?
Because you're going to throw. Because first of all, your memory is, and you'll have help. But when you start pulling some of the monikers of the past out there, it's going to be.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's going to be a roller coaster.
Well, I wrote them down.
Let's see. There you go.
I wanted to get the original one that I used. What is Brand the Broken's name? Damn it, where'd it go? I'm trying to find it here. Give me 1 second. I lost it now. Damn it. All hail Brand the Broken, first of his name, King of the Andals and the First Men, Lord of the Six Kingdoms, and Protector of the Realm. So that's his name. Okay. And they basically would give you the name of all the stuff you've done or been about or whatever. So I was like, what would ours be? So mine was, I did mine too.
But you created your own, yes.
Well, Joel, it's kind of hard to give someone else.
Don't you think that we would have had a field day creating your, well, okay, there we go. Let me hold out before I hear.
Yeah, why don't you hold out? Because I went to AJ and said, do you want to help me come up with this? It was my name because I don't want, because I know how you are. Well, of course you did yours. So AJ helped me with my name. Which is Barry the Sensitive. Oh, and Nick helped too. Barry the Sensitive, first of his kind, King of the Man Boobs, Lord of the Skinny Jeans, and Herder of Feelings. Not bad.
Not bad.
That's not bad. What was this?
For your man boobs.
Oh, you're motorboating my man boobs?
No, he is. Joel is.
Thank you, Nicholas the Drunken. First of his name, King of the Dump Button, Lord of the Peanut Butter, and Protector of Fat Chicks.
Okay.
Not bad, right?
Protector of fat chicks. Yeah. I like it.
All right. And then there's Joseph the Crybaby. First of his name, King of the Dad Jokes, Lord of the Fat, and Keeper of the Farts.
Beautiful.
Not bad. That's our Game of Thrones. So then I was like, I might do this for the whole station. This felt really good.
John, Lance, yeah. Fred, Jose AJ, Palillo, Jose the Intern. That's.
He's already mad about that.
You going to go at Fred?
His last one would be Sniffer of Farts, Jose, because of that day. Yeah. He was like, it smells good
everything
in here.
Comes up roses.
I had Charlie the Dry. That's all I had so far for Charlie.
Okay.
And
come on.
King of the Box Score.
And the small slippers?
Nope. But yeah, I might do that. Although I did think about it. Like I was like, I'm going to do this and put it on Sports Map. And then I was like, I think it would hurt some feelings.
Why stock? Your name, it says it.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't put your name on the post. Herder just let it say feelings? Sports Map staff. Oh. And that way, no one would know who wrote it.
No one would know that
no
it was me.
No one's listening to our show right
Josh
now.
Josh would get hammered for that.
Yeah, he would. I already asked him. And he was like, he was very hesitant. He goes, run it by Fred, which means I don't want any part of this.
I don't want to approve this.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll just keep it to our show. But I like that. And then I thought we could do that with listeners. And then I thought, I hate them, so.
Well, that way, if there was one that you particularly hate or pisses you off.
I misspoke. I love our listeners. There's just some that I hate that I would do it for. And then they would get upset. So I wouldn't want to take too much time out of the day hurting feelings. But that was my favorite part is all the names were cool. Like okay. Brand the Broken, King of the Six Realms and all that stuff. That's a really cool. I like that. That was my favorite part of the whole thing is all the king's names. And then they say it every time.
See, that's...
They say the whole thing every time. It's kind of cool, though. I like it.
Just call the dude Ricky Bobby and move on.
Real quick, before we get out of here, did you see the kid that kicked Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back?
No, I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Did you see this,
no,
Nicholas?
Sounds pretty funny, though.
He was at a strongman competition, and they were doing jump rope or something. And he was videoing it, and he was like, kind of over the shoulder selfie style, and he was videoing it. And some dude runs up out of nowhere and drop kicks him wrestling style in the back.
Did it hurt Arnold?
He barely moved. That old man is tough as nails.
And he's not even that tall.
Like, the kid fell, and then a bouncer grabbed him. But Arnold said later, he goes, I didn't know what happened. I didn't even realize I was kicked until I saw the video. He's still a badass.
Why did he get kicked? The kid just wanted to...
I think that there might be something wrong with the kid. My wife said, and I can't invalidate this or didn't know what happened, but my wife said that the guy was just yelling, I want a Lamborghini. I have no idea what the hell that means.
Then he turned and said, I want my baseball?
I don't know. It's weird. Okay. But if you want a Lamborghini and you need money to pay for it, I got an idea. Get Upside. That's right. Get that Lamborghini money. Get Upside gets you cash back in your pocket. Completely free app to download. Dude, if you guys haven't added this to your phone yet, you're crazy. You are just, you must hate money if you're not using Get Upside. I don't know what else would be the reason why you wouldn't use it, because there's no catch. It's completely free to download and use. There's really no reason to not use Get Upside unless you just don't like it, don't like money, then that's fine. But it was featured on ABC 13, so this is a legitimate product. I use it. AJ uses it. My wife uses it. Nick uses it. A lot of folks at the station are using it. A lot of listeners are using it. When you download it and put it on your phone, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up, and that's what it does. It gets you cash back on gas and food. So when you eat out today for lunch or dinner or whatever, you stop and get some burgers on the way home or maybe some Popeye's chicken or whatever, you can get cash back. You can get up to 35% cash back at over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston. That's money in your pocket that you're leaving at the table if you're not using Get Upside. I don't understand it. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city. And if you use that promo code Barry, your first fill up, you're going to get a bonus cash back offer that my wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon. So I love this app, man. It's so easy to use. You just pull up a map of all the gas stations and restaurants in your area, choose the cash back offer you want, pay with a debit card, upload your receipt. Done. Guys, it's so simple. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back and just getting rolling. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. ESPN 97.5, number one sports station in Houston. Book it. Just remember it. Know it. Listen to it all day long. With that, we always give back to you, the listeners, that helped to put us right there, as we were just speaking about. That means we've got a giveaway coming up. Maybe more than one, but at least one. Let's put it that way. And it's coming up. So stay tuned. Listen attentively.
Yes.
And you may win some tickets. How about that?
Yes.
Just throwing it out.
Do it.
It's a good idea. Every day. Keep it locked in and rip the knob off, like they used to say in those rock and roll stations. But that's a different story for a different day. So lots of sports viewing this weekend or not much?
Some. It was a mixed bag for me this weekend. I watched a little of the Raptors game and some Astros. Mm-hmm. Didn't watch much of the Golden State series games.
I didn't either. I basically watched Raptors and that's it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that was pretty much it. I caught a few innings of the Cubs game last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, in and out. Life gets in the way sometimes, man.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But here's the thing. Like, I'm watching the Astros. Thoroughly impressed with the first two games. And obviously the streak continues along the way. And then everybody, and I see like the breaking lead headline on the crawl on ESPN is Red Sox end Astros 10-game winning streak. If you watch that game, if not for two wind-aided mistakes on defense with your third string second baseman.
If I don't need to see Yuli at second base anymore, I'm done with that.
The problem is, who else you going to? Tony Kemp?
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, how many runs did Yuli cost you?
Well, obviously two.
Okay. I don't need to see that anymore.
I'll tell you this, though. And the other thing was, and he got out of one of them, but Tyler White at first base, too, is just, exactly. He can't squeeze it.
Do you like Yuli at first?
I do.
Okay.
Because he picks it well at first. Right. So don't put two people out of position.
Exactly.
But you know where I'd like to put Tyler White, and it's getting more and more of a deal with me. Yeah, because he's watching fastballs right down Main Street.
He looked perplexed at the plate. Although I'll say this, and we didn't really discuss this much, but Jose Altuve looked a little lost at the plate before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. He was swinging at pitches way out of the zone that he normally doesn't swing at. He was taking strikes that he normally doesn't take. So it happens, but, and I'm certainly not suggesting that Tyler White and Jose Altuve are the same. But yeah, it's Tyler White is looking pretty bad right now.
Now he's out of options?
That's what someone said. I haven't looked up his options, but someone texted us and said that him and Kemp are both out of options. I would have to validate that. But I mean, do you care that much?
I really don't. I mean, look, AJ Reed was a guy that they were high on for a while and they bailed on him in the offseason and they traded him to the Mets. But I'm just looking at it going, there has to be another way to go about this. And then Lisa and I were talking about it. She said she read somewhere. She's like, oh my, he's put on some. But she said she read somewhere where he said that he lost weight and he felt like he didn't have the control at the plate and the pop that he once had. So he went to put it back on. I've heard of lifting weights to put weight back on. Yeah. I have not heard trying to eat your way off the diamond.
His on-base percentage for the month of May is .244.
Boy.
That's really bad.
At least his power numbers are up. Stop.
No home runs, 5 RBIs.
Yeah, no home runs.
Did have a couple of RBIs in that game against second game against Boston.
He flattened a ball that went to first base. He smothered it and laid on top of it and got a guy out at first.
Right, but you're just going to make fat jokes the whole time on Tyler White.
The middle of the glove, and the next thing you know, it went scooped right behind him. He was rolling around on the dirt for it. I'm going, come on. At least Yuli makes play.
He made that nice little line drive catch yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't cancel out altogether. I mean,
you know.
I'm just saying.
All right.
And again, we're just... nitpicking exactly. Because the team's in a great position. Obviously,
I knew as soon as they lost that you were the fans in general were just going to start ratcheting up the issue talk. Oh, Tyler White's got to go, and I mean you did too to a degree. You brought it up, but look, in their last 11, they've won
they're
10.
Fantastic.
You might see if he hits his way out of it. I don't know. I don't feel like he would, but
we've given him the first quarter of the season to hit his way out of it.
Yeah. Does it surprise you, though, that, I mean...
Like, if Diaz wasn't hurt and everybody else was healthy, I would just let him DH.
Yeah, but he's got the hammy issue.
That's what I'm saying, if he wasn't hurt. I know, and again, it's nitpicky. Look, I'm happy as hell with the way this team's playing, and you summed it up best. It's tough to really have anything to talk about when they're playing as well as they're playing, and they've been a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
But... when you look at things where if you know you want to become better, or if you are chasing the two greats, you know, the greats of years past, the 27 Yankees and teams like that, and you want to get into that, you know, then you can always look to improve. But I'm tired of whether you call it the Tyler White experiment or you owe it to him or whatever it is, but I'm done with it.
Evan Gattis
over him.
Oh, God. Are they really chasing the 27 Yankees? That's not a thing.
No, I'm just saying people are, when you have the articles coming out and statistically and all those
things.
This
town, this city loves to win statistical battles. They don't, it's almost like this town doesn't care about championships, but they love to be, we score more runs than the Yankees did in 27. Great. Talk World Series. Don't talk about runs.
Can I throw something else?
So I don't know if that was you saying them chasing the 27 Yankees.
Oh, no, because we did the...
If so, shame on you.
Granato talked about it.
Ridiculous.
I heard about it, so we...
Didn't you do a Sports Map video on it?
I was going to say, we did a Sports Map video on it. The fact that this is what the neighborhood of the people are putting them in this category. So we covered that, yes. And I'm not shying away from that. I didn't say that they were close. I'll throw something else into the mix with you. The other thing that this city cares more about than championships is MVPs.
Yeah,
that's another big
thing. You've preached that for a while, and they seem to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Would you rather have Kyle Tucker up?
I've seen that. Unless there's a totally new script that I'm waiting to read, I've seen that before. I'm not impressed with him.
Now, okay. Well, we got to get to break. But I have a counterpoint to that because it has to do with Tony Kemp and how many times he's been up and down.
All right. Okay, cool. Just a half hour into the show. Again, you want to join us? Hey, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. And or you can always tweet us at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, At Barry is funny. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You know, the sun doesn't shine forever, but as long as we're here, we might as well shine together. Bling, Nick, bling. Barry, and myself, just kicking off the second half hour of the show, having a lot of fun. Hopefully you take us wherever you go on this Monday in the big city. You had more Astros.
Yeah, hey, real quick, shout out to TJ Guidry. He had to drive to Austin for a family member that passed. So, we got him through the Friday. So, our condolences, TJ. Sorry absolutely to hear about that, yep, man. We talked about Tyler White being up here, and I don't know his option status. I'd still have to Google it and look it up, and Tony Kemp. And here's the thing, though. I mentioned, well, what about Kyle Tucker? Mm-hmm. And you were like, I've seen that show before. Mm-hmm. Remember now, Tony Kemp, he's having a bad year, but he's been up and down year after year after year. And every time he got a little better to where he stuck last year, and he made it, and he made the opening day roster, and he is in a slump, a prolonged slump. But that sometimes is how these guys end up getting their path, is Tucker comes up, then he goes back down and he gets seasoned. And he comes up again and he tries again. I mean, that happened with Tony Kemp. That happened with a guy like Tyler White. Why wouldn't you, if you're going to – I mean, is Kyle Tucker going to be any worse than Tyler White at this point?
It's a good point.
Could he get on base 24% of the time?
And it's yes. Look, it's not like major accomplishment if you can do more than Tyler White's been doing too, right? But I'll say this. The one thing different in the two scenarios that you just gave is the fact that Tyler White still has value for you in a trade, but if you bring him back up and he fails miserably again, I think you lose.
You're talking about Tucker?
I'm sorry, Kyle Tucker. Okay. Yes. Kyle Tucker still has a lot of trade value because of the fact that a year ago he was the number one prospect in the organization. So I think that they can say, well, it was a small sample size and he's still really young. But if you bring him back up again and he doesn't succeed, I think that that really hurts you in using him then as any kind of trade bait.
Well, he certainly isn't tearing the cover off the ball.
No, he's not.
Currently. But short of Yordan Alvarez, there's not a lot of guys that you would look at. I mean, Seth Beer has been doing really well, but it's too soon for him.
Right.
To come up, meaning that he was just drafted in 2018. I wouldn't mind them taking another peek at Miles Straw. I wouldn't mind just having that guy. He's not going to be a guy that hits for a ton of average. But, you know, you've got Jake in the lineup, and I like Miles Straw's game. I really do.
I like the fact that when he came up, the moment wasn't too big for him. And you thought he was just a pinch runner / defensive replacement, and he had a little pop.
Yeah.
And he did some, you know, really positive things for you, and he is lightning on the bases.
Yep.
And they look for these guys that have versatility. Like, we were just talking about, one of the unsung things about Tony Kemp is he can play the outfield in multiple positions, but he can also play the infield if you need him at second base. Or you can move Diaz like you used to use Marwin, except for the outfield. But not, you know, and then if you take a Miles Straw and you can move him across the, you can use him in the outfield. You can use a pinch runner. You can do a lot of different things with him. I love the versatility. You're not going to use Tyler White as a pinch runner, Barry.
No, you're not. You're not at all. I don't know. It's a good position to be in, though, when you're like, oh, what do we do with the last guy on our team? What do we do with that last position? Because, I mean, again, Tony Kemp, he's hitting .220 right now. And his on base is .277.
Right.
Which is pretty awful.
Yep.
But yeah, he's got some defensive replacement abilities. Tyler White can play a little left field, but he's a liability out there too.
You know, he was supposed to be a backup shortstop and third baseman too.
Tyler White?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
Back
in the day anyway, before
really
this latest edition.
Oh my God. Don't tell me that.
I'm going to find that for you.
Yeah. Why do they have him listed as second base?
Uh-huh.
See? What is that about?
See? In years past, they thought he could be a backup in the infield.
This must be a mistake by ESPN. They literally have Tyler White listed at second base. No way.
I'm just telling you.
No way.
I'm just telling you.
Way. No. I can see the third base thing. He's got the body of a corner infielder.
Well, they had him as a backup shortstop at one point.
No.
Yes, they did.
Did they really?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to Google that. If you're wrong, you have to buy me a Diet Coke.
I already did last week.
That's true. We'll call it even.
So, I mean, I think that's kind of amusing to me, but you're right. I mean, it's fun to just, you know, grasp at straws at the last possible roster spots right now, simply because they're playing so well. And the schedule is very conducive. Look, to go into Boston, and they've never swept the Red Sox in Boston, because that is a very, you know, tall task.
It's a tough place to play.
But they legitimately had a shot to do it, and they were dominant in the first two games.
Yeah, and they were up 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously the first one cost you a run for sure.
Yep.
The first dropped fly ball. And the thing is, and I think Charlie mentioned this too, but I'm with him on this. The bottom line is you had two really, really above average outfielders in Mariznick and Reddick. And it's just one of those plays where it's a pop up and they're like, yeah, he's got that. But I don't want to say as much as goes on Yuli, but those outfielders, it's their responsibility to come on in. Especially if you know the wind is playing havoc with some baseballs. Come on in a little bit. They both kind of were dogging it like, you know what? He's got that. Let's go. And then it was like, oh, crap.
Mm.
And it was too late.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because Yuli didn't look real smooth with the... For as good as he is at picking grounders and throws at first.
Right.
That ball up in the air, he looked lost, both of them.
He did.
So, all right. So they open up against the White Sox tonight. So, again, the schedule conducive. Springer, that's the only other big deal. He looked like he was a little behind on Sale, which is easy to do when Sale is dealing a little bit better than he had been in the start of the year.
A lot of folks get behind on Sale.
Yes. And that last at-bat, you could just see something didn't look exactly right. He went out and played the field and then came back in and was like, no. And then they interviewed him after the game, and he's like, I felt it. I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead, but they're going to give him the day off. So, hopefully it's nothing serious because he's been on fire.
Hopefully it's a day-to-day situation.
Right.
I don't want to see that cat. When you see guys go to the IL like that and they're having an MVP type season, sometimes they stay in that zone and they can maintain that zone for a really long time. But an extended period of time off, you kind of lose it. You kind of, you know, whatever it is, whatever that magical thing is, it's got you locked in like that. Sometimes you lose that. I mean, they even talked about Altuve is probably going to have to go down and play in either Corpus or, what's the other? Rio Grande? No. What's the other affiliate? Round Rock.
Round Rock.
Either Round Rock or Corpus, and get some get a game or two in, just depending on who's home and where and how and all that, just to kind of try to get him going again because he's been off so long. And you hate to see that with Springer, man, because he was on fire. So hopefully, like you said, it's just a day off thing and he can get back at it. But also, you don't want him to be like trying to get back too fast and then it stays as a nagging injury. If you need to go to the IL, just go to the IL. I'd rather him go to the IL, not lose a little bit of that swagger that he had or that you know, locked into the zone that he had, but still be a productive member of this team for most of the year instead of having it nagging and cause more issues than it should.
No, I'm with you on that. So we'll see what they can do against the White Sox tonight. But, you know, all things being considered, hey, it's fun to nitpick, but this team is playing great baseball. Power rankings just came out for MLB. Astros firmly entrenched at the number one spot. Dodgers are at number two. Minnesota Twins, as shocking as it is, are continuing to look fantastic. They're up in the top five. Good to be the king, so to speak, for this so far for 2019 if you're the Houston Astros.
No doubt.
Yeah, so we've got plenty more things to get to on the show. Again, a giveaway coming up between now and 2 o'clock or around that time. So we'll get that to you, as well as lots of other things. NBA playoffs keeps rolling along.
I had a question for you.
Yes?
This is real simple, so it's not going to take up a lot of time. I heard them on SportsCenter say, you know, Milwaukee, the Bucks is fear the deer.
Yeah.
Are the Brewers really fear the beer?
They've used
Somebody said that. I was like, that is awesome.
They've used it. Yeah.
And because again, of Fear the Deer.
Correct.
I love that.
Yeah. And I
love that so much. Fear the Beer is outstanding.
And I'm trying to remember, and you and I were talking about jerseys because we were talking about the Fresno Grizzlies who went to the tacos.
Yeah. Because that's on minor league baseball website for the Astros. They have him in a tacos jersey.
The Brewers alternate jersey in the last couple years have been the Cervezas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think.
I dig that.
Something like that.
I dig
that. Yeah, so that's cool. All right, we'll continue to roll on and plenty more to get to. Appreciate you listening to the show. If you want to join, 713-780-3776. HRP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 975.
event?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Of course, there's basketball to talk about as the Warriors go for the sweep tonight, but more importantly for you people in the fine city of Houston,
what
Texas.
What do you mean, you people?
Houstonians,
oh.
Listeners of the show,
gotcha.
Suspects, so to speak.
Yep.
You want to talk about the Rockets. You want to talk about what's going on. And there was news this weekend, and a lot of it kind of under the radar. The first news to break was that the Rockets have elected to not offer Jeff Bezdelic a contract for next season.
Mm.
Your thoughts?
I initially tweeted it out and said, well, because we actually wrote some jokes about it for the Sunday show. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty obvious to me that a head had to roll. And it wasn't going to be D'Antoni because his contract, it wasn't. Tillman, I think this was a cheap heads roll way to make it look like they made changes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't going to get rid of Daryl Morey because of his contract extension. You weren't going to do that because, one, D'Antoni had another year left, and he's James Harden's favorite, and Harden loves him. A head had to roll for Tillman Fertitta or by Tillman Fertitta, and the next man in line was Jeff Bezdelic.
Yeah, I said all along the difference, and when because I even said, D'Antoni's definitely on the hot seat this offseason, regardless.
Uh-huh.
But I had said all along, the difference between coaching in college and coaching in the pros is, in college, you can get rid of players. You can just take their scholarship away because they need you more than you need them, for the most part, unless you're like a one-and-done top 10 recruit, right? But in the pros, when you can't get rid of $95 million in salary occupied by four players and you're limited in what you can do from a roster change, the head coach is normally the first head to roll or be on the chopping block. But I did not see this coming. And I don't know, to your point, I don't know if this is D'Antoni also going, hey, better him than me, and we can put this on him. Or you're right. Or is it the organization going, look, somebody's got to go so that we can say we did something different.
Well, now, I think to be fair, we might be framing this the wrong way, too. So Jonathan Fagan tweeted out that the Rockets were not bringing Jeff Bezdelic back. His contract was up. So it's not like he got fired. They just chose not to bring him back. And a big part of that was, according to Fagan's tweet, and I guess what he was implying, was that Bezdelic was a little bit on the fence about whether he wanted to come back. So part of it, I think, was a head had to roll, and they were like, well, then we just won't bring him back. But maybe some of it was, we can't count on this guy to commit just yet. Maybe he wants to explore his other options in the offseason, and we need to go out there and get the best available defensive coach that we can get in case he doesn't come back.
Fair.
I mean, I don't want to frame it. I still think that it was probably a decision by the Rockets to say, we're not bringing that guy back. It makes it look like they made a change for the sake of making a change, even though they were, the number two defensive rated team after the All-Star break? And the market difference and when he was out and when he wasn't here and when he came back, I mean, they were 11-14 without him.
Results wise, but here's the thing, because I was going to say to that, because I still got, as you know, in and around the organization, I got a ton of people that I talk to. And the one thing is, this is an analytics driven franchise, as we know. And I'm with you. You could see the marked improvement defensively when he came back in terms of just rotations and the way they were going about their business. But when you look at analytics and say, before he came back, they were giving up 110 and change. After he came back, they were giving up 110 and change. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how they look at the analytics, too. But if you look at, because the other news that we get to is Mike D'Antoni is saying that he has gone to Daryl and to Tillman and said, I feel great. I want to keep coaching this team for a minimum of 3 more years, looking for an extension. And as part of the article that Woj wrote for ESPN, he said, and after the release of, or like you said, not offering Jeff Bezdelic a contract, this they might not be done. They may be looking to shake up the staff even more, which tells me Tillman is still pretty fired up, and he wants something different to happen.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. Again, you know, Bezdelic being a little wishy-washy in the off season, and because I think at one point Fagan's quote was he said, "Ask my wife." You know that. So if you can't count on a guy to commit to wanting to be here, then you got to go out and do what you got to do. And I think that's some of it. And I think that the Rockets can come out and say, "We've moved on from Jeff Bezdelic. We're making changes, and we got to evaluate." Because that was their quote was, "Hey, look, we've got to evaluate and make changes everywhere." But Daryl Morey even said, "Jeff Bezdelic was fantastic. Then why didn't you bring him back? Mm-hmm. If he was fantastic, either he wasn't fantastic and you're moving on from him, or he was fantastic and you would love to have him back." So I think this is just a kind of a perfect storm of all the different circumstances rolled into one.
Here's the thing, because a lot of people have said to me, can you see Tom Thibodeau coming
Thibodeau?
I can't stand when people call him Thibs. His nickname has always been Tibbs. When he was here with the Rockets, we all called him Tibbs. But because it's...
So you don't like when people say Thibodeau?
I don't like... Mike Greenberg does. At first started going Thibs.
Don't you start making fun of lisps. Don't.
I'm not doing a lisp. I'm just saying it's not Thibs. It's Tibbs.
Well, now that I know that, it's Thibodeau.
Okay. So...
From now on.
That was a name that was floated out there and said, what do I think about that? Well, here's the thing. I can see that D'Antoni and Tibbs have both been Olympic assistant coaches, okay? Mm-hmm. And Tibbs is a defensive guru. But as for D'Antoni and for your best player, the perception is out there, first of all, that it's James's whole organization. It's
sure.
James.
Sure, sure.
And he's running everything. And the one thing that you don't want to give up, because like you mentioned, D'Antoni's his favorite because D'Antoni lets him run roughshod, do whatever he wants to do. You bring Tibbs in, Tibbs is an ass kicker. There's no democratic policy in terms of how we get things done around here. It's a dictatorship, and Tibbs is going to make his mark. I don't know how that's going to jive with
and
those
guys. And he's spent a long time in this organization, and would a guy like Thibodeau really want to – I just did that for you. Mm-hmm. Would he really want to be just a defensive coach?
No, that's the other thing. The thing – you have to figure it out because when you have a contract like he had, which was in two different – he was getting paid for two different positions with the Timberwolves at like $11 million total a year or more – so you don't want to screw that up. Yeah. So to take an assistant's job, normally what happens is the salary you're making with the new team is deducted from what you still get owed to you from the old team.
Gotcha.
That would have to be worked out too. But if you're D'Antoni and you like the fact that no matter who's really running it, that no one's trying to bark up your tree, Tillman, if he brought in a guy like Tibbs and had him on his staff and realized something needed to be shaken up a little bit more as they start next season... How easy would it be? It's like Jason Kidd going to be the assistant coach in with the Lakers. He's the coach in waiting. If anything goes wrong,
gone.
You're looking right over your shoulder on the bench and going, there's the next coach of the Lakers. I don't think that D'Antoni would want to see Tibbs sitting next to him.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you think about it. These are this is different than a guy who, you know, what's his name? Rockets coach before D'Antoni.
Adelman?
No, before McHale? Before McHale.
Before McHale was Adelman.
Well, who was? Oh no, interim.
JB Bickerstaff.
Yeah, to me, JB Bickerstaff is a lot different than a guy like Thibodeau or a guy like hell, even D'Antoni. Like these are guys that I'm sure they take the jobs to get work, but as a last resort. A guy like JB Bickerstaff he's tried it as a head coach, and if it doesn't work out, he's probably okay being an assistant for the rest of his life.
Oh yeah, because he's a really really good assistant. But again, like we talked about Wade Phillips.
But a guy like Thibodeau doesn't strike me as a guy that would just
be okay
to be
in control.
Yeah.
Because look,
so that would be weird to have on staff.
They're the Wade Phillipses of the world, not great head coaches, but phenomenal coordinators. And with that being said, guess who the Cleveland Cavaliers just hired to be their associate head coach to help out new coach John Beilein. JB Bickerstaff has a job again, kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting paid, and he will, if he's a lifetime assistant, especially because he's still soaking up head coach money from Memphis, he's doing just fine.
Uh-huh.
So there's your Rockets news.
If I can't say Thibodeau, then every TH word now has to be T, like Thibodeau.
Are you making fun of people
tings.
With lisps?
No, now you're just like all these tings. Like, we're not going to say things if I can't say Thibodeau. I'm just putting it out there.
Does it make you fad?
That was different.
That's yours.
That was a lisp joke.
I know.
We want your thoughts. Get at us on Twitter.
Back with hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.